Hello, Dakota Territory. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to the journey we call Dakota Trails and Tales. Jump on in the Luce Tales Food Link Chuck Wagon. Then we will tool the region, the country, the globe. We will look at the news stories of the day. And then at the end of the journey, it will be up to you by yourself to determine how and if this information might actually affect us living in a little piece of heaven. I'm going to continue to beat this drum because not enough people are that are presenting the facts. Todd McFarland joined me on the air last week from Portland, Oregon, as the trial of seven individuals continues, the occupiers of Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. That occurred the first 41 days of this year. If you just joined me, I was there for a weekend. I was a moderator for one of the Burns, Oregon town hall meetings. And it is, as much as it irritated me to no end in January, the selective portrayal of the truth that continued to come out from the media that was there. And I'm talking about in a town hall meeting with 250 local people, 150 media people. They did not report what was said in the town hall meeting. They reported what the government press release said. The only person in media that reported what actually was said at that meeting is me. And now you have editorial boards from around the country, like this Pittsburgh Post-Gazette piece that is titled The Malheur Misfits. The anti-government group will get its justice. I want to read to you the first paragraph. And this is from the editorial board, whoever that is. I will be writing my own letter to the editor and submitting it to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Because this is a gross misrepresentation of media. This is what the first paragraph says. For 41 days earlier this year, Ammon Bundy and a group of armed ranchers occupied Malheur National Wildlife Refuge in Oregon. The occupiers, who brandished weapons and threatened federal officers, also made it clear that they didn't recognize the government's authority to own or even manage public land. They recognize no law above themselves. There is so much misinformation in the first three sentences that it's hard to even get my hands around this. Okay, number one, they did not brandish weapons. Ammon Bundy never held a weapon. He had people that were surrounding him. He held a press conference and said, "We have a Second Amendment right to protect ourselves. We will do that." He never threatened a federal officer. Here's the biggest problem you have, editorial board, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Listen to Sheriff David Ward's testimony last week. Last week he said, and Todd McFarland repeated on this program, that never once did Ammon Bundy present a threatening or even hostile anything other than a negotiation tone of voice. Now, I'll be the first to tell you that when the original occupation occurred, there were other militia groups that came in and did exercise their right to bear arms. Nobody's disputing that. But you did not see Lavoy Finicum, Jason Patrick, Ryan, or Ammon Bundy, or Jeff Banta, who was there 3 days, 3 days of the 41, and he is one of the seven defendants? Where's that? Where's Jeff Banta brandishing weapons or threatening federal officers? Tell me about that. You are writing about something that you don't have a clue on. And the very fact that you take this stand and you go on to talk about Lavoy Finicum was shot and killed by officers who thought he was reaching for a gun, the only partial truth in this whole thing is that the officers, they claim they thought he was reaching for a gun. And then they go on to say that Finicum actually believed that the violent rhetoric that his cohorts gave lip service to when they were surrounded and outgunned, he paid for it with his life while his friends just threw their hands up and turned themselves in without a fight. Lavoy Finicum is a hero because he got out of that pickup to protect the occupants of that pickup. And never once, I want you to give me one example, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Give me one example of where the original occupants are giving lip service to your words, violent rhetoric. Give me one example of violent rhetoric, and I'll apologize for calling you on the carpet. You can't give me one example, because I was there. I know the individuals that were involved. I witnessed how this entire bias is working against the culture of rural America. And to say that they don't recognize the law above themselves is absolutely the greatest falsehood. Because all this group and all of the people who are standing up, all we've ever wanted is to recognize what the true law is and that the federal government itself is not above the law. Live by the Constitution. It was written by a smart group of folks. Yeah, maybe it was a long time ago, but it still holds true today. Get your act together, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. It's Dakota Trails and Tales. I'm Trent Luce. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Dr. Walter Chick Bishop, the walking encyclopedia of history, when we return with more after this.